situation before multiple times, and it wasn't really anything but the usual. We got 30 minutes, give it our all, and we're the best second half team in the country, and it showed again.
Good afternoon, everybody. That was J.J. McCarthy back on Saturday night on Fox after the game, declaring that Michigan is a second-half team. In fact, the best second-half team in the country. I'm not here to lie with him. Watching this team this year, they were an incredible second-half team, both on offense and on defense, and it showed itself again in the Big Ten title game. We're ready to get things underway. The Maize and Blues, good afternoon, Michigan football. And we're here weekdays talking about at 1 o'clock, talking about the latest in Michigan sports. And there's quite a few things to talk about. I got a question of the day. You know, we got 25 days left in this year. And, you know, we always count them down like, hey, there's so many days left in the year. See you next year, you know, that kind of stuff. And yet this year it's got a like last year, you know, a special meaning. You may not like, I don't particularly like New Year's Eve semifinal games, but I'd liked it last year. Looking forward to it this year. I don't think, like, if you're a college football fan, you're a sports fan, and you don't have a horse in the race, or a dog in a fight, you know, or team in the semifinal, I can see how you're like, hey, this is one day of the year. I don't need to. This is weird to say. I was like, you know, stopping myself and saying it slowly, but I'll say it. It's true. As big of a sports fan as I am, it's one of the days of the year that you really don't need sports because you have New Year's Eve and you have all of the parties. And, you know, college football decided, hey, let's go out there and grab it. Let's grab New Year's Eve and make it our own. Like New Year's Day, you know, was, you know, for me and a lot of you growing up, they had, you know, it was a smorgasbord of football all day long. And, you know, it was great. And they, you know, they got it where it is now where, you know, the games are spread all over the place, which, you know, there's good and bad about that. I always enjoyed New Year's Day. I still do, but there is something just like having so many games, you know, four or five to choose from. There's still a lot to choose from, you know, they've just spread it out. And it's like, hey, you don't really watch all those games. And it's true. Like, you know, some of these games, I don't even know the people that are sponsoring them. Never heard of the games, never know any interest of any of the teams. And, you know, there have been some years that I've only watched a limited amount. I remember one year I screwed up my arm and there was nothing I could do. I was, I don't think I was working for a week and maybe I was on vacation or maybe it was, you know, kind of forced, whatever, but I had like seven straight days, but it was right in the middle of bowl season. So I'm over there watching like, you know, Virginia and, you know, whoever, SMU and things like that. And I was like, wow, I can remember whatever the year Kyle Van Noy, the Lions ended up picking him in the second round. But I remember watching it was BYU and I think it was San Diego State in the Holiday Bowl, and Van Noy had one of the best games that I've ever seen from a defensive player. Like he had, I don't know, double digit tackles. He had an interception. He had a fumble, forced fumble recovery, scoop and score. He might even had a batted ball, and it's like two interceptions. One was a pick six. This is an incredible game, and I'd never watched him before. I had never heard of him before, but I'm like, man, I hope the Lions pick this guy. Well, they ended up picking him, and he wasn't really any good in Detroit. And he's still in the league, but he wasn't any good at Detroit. But, you know, that you don't need it on New Year's Eve, but with Michigan in it, you know, my plans are set. You know, I know a lot of people like to go out and whatever, different bars. And you get older, you have these ballrooms where, you know, like you get your ticket and you dress up and they have everything's all set for you. You've got the transportation and everything. And it's a good time. You know, you go out there, you dance and might have a few drinks, you know, to bring in the New Year's the right way. But, you know, now that if you got football, they're going to change it coming up. So, and then this year, Michigan was gifted. Like you knew that Georgia with number one would be staying home and playing in Atlanta. And then when you looked out to Arizona and Glendale, and knowing the time difference, you thought, oh, well, they'll make Glendale the late game, and they'll make, Georgia the earlier game. So even if you've, you know, thought about going out, not this year, Michigan fan, you're going to stay and you're gonna watch the Wolverines kick off at 8 o'clock. But they changed it up. They got Michigan going at 4. So you could do all of it. You could still go out and act crazy and not act crazy. You go out and ring the new year in 2023. My idea of ringing the new year in this year is, you know, watching Michigan and TCU. And then, you know, watching Ohio State and Georgia. And then afterwards, you know, going to bed. And then all day long on Saturday, it is Saturday this year, right? Let me look if that's exactly how it is. I have a calendar right here. It just so happens that New Year's Eve this year is actually on a Saturday. So what are they doing? Oh, no, wait. I have to look here. Wait. Christmas is on a Sunday, so that means New Year's Eve is going to be on a Saturday. So New Year's Day will be on a Sunday. I'm getting a little confused. You know, you got to look at the calendar, so that's how it's going to work. I was thinking it was a Friday, but no. So New Year's Eve is a Saturday. All right, let's jump into what we're going to be talking about. I want to remind people that, yeah, Christmas is going to be on a Sunday this year. The 25th is Christmas. And if you're looking for a gift for the Maize and Blue fan in your life, I've got it right here for you, the gift of the Maize and Blue review this holiday season. Go to michigan.rivals.com and you can get what every Michigan fan wants. The latest news up to the second, recruiting, football, basketball, everything else going on with Maize and Blue, it is there. So we'll see you over on the Maize and Blue review on the posting board where I like to hang out all day long. Today, we are talking about the Heisman finalist that will be heading to New York. Blake Corum will not be heading to the Big Apple. Did he get snubbed? We'll discuss that. Also, you know, now with 25 days until Michigan plays a football game, and then you have on the 21st, which is coming pretty quickly here, just over 2 weeks from now, will be the early signing period. Michigan's got some ground to make up. How are they doing in recruiting / name, image, and likeness? That is something that I will explore, give you my thoughts on. But, you know, yesterday the transfer portal opened up, and we will start talking about that. But I do have some breaking news before that, and it comes from Vegas. The lines are out. Michigan versus everybody via Vegas. Who Michigan, when they would line up in the potential national championship game? What we know that Michigan's a 9.5-point favorite over TCU, but what would it be like if Georgia won? What would it be like if Ohio State won? We have the numbers here for you. If Michigan, this is according to Caesar Sports, if Michigan beats TCU and advances to the national championship game on January the 9th, and Ohio State beats Georgia, Ohio State then would be favored against Michigan, a team that Michigan beat by, as we know now, 22 points, 45-23 down in Columbus on a neutral field. They would have Ohio State installed as a 2.5-point favorite. Don't ask me exactly how they came up with that number, but that's what a Caesar Sports said, that the Buckeyes would be favored by 2.5. Meanwhile, if Georgia beats Ohio State, which I'm expecting that to happen, that same book in Vegas, Caesars Sports, has installed Georgia as an 8-point favorite over Michigan. Georgia would be the 17.5-point favorite against TCU, 10.5 against TCU if it's Ohio State, but we're not considering those outcomes right now. I could see, I think both of those lines seem a little off to me. I think I get it. There's a, in the history of college football, when you have a rematch, you have a decided factor of the team that lost coming back to win. It's a huge percentage of the time. It did not happen with Utah and USC. This year, Utah beat USC twice. So just, you know, if we're looking at the last one, it didn't bear out to the numbers there in a neutral field. You know, I feel, heck, I think, well, now when you hear people say, well, who do you want, Georgia or Ohio State in the national championship game? That could be a little bit confusing for people because, like, I don't want Ohio State. I don't want to be rooting for Ohio State. But if you're just doing it, which I get, if you're just doing it in terms of how Vegas looks at it, Michigan would have although they would be the underdog in both games, they'd have a better shot against Georgia. But, you know, are you rooting? I don't think anybody's actually going to be rooting. If they do it, they do it. And then you say, bring them on. But I can't see any Michigan fans being like, you know, hey, go Buckeyes. Can't wait to, you know, take them out again. Or, you know, I mean, if it happens, it happens. And it would actually be good for Michigan heading in. But it's not something I think that anybody is rooting for, right? Let's see. Before we get to the transfer portal, let's see where the people are at. I did give you a question of the day as well. I'm throwing a lot at you here today, but I've noticed, you know, we've been doing this show now since not this past November the 1st, but November the 1st, 21. So we've been doing this for over a year here on the Maize and Blue Review at 1 o'clock. And I've noticed that people are able to handle a lot of different things thrown at them left and right. And I don't know if anybody's noticed my new addition here in the studio. I got a picture of other than Jim Harbaugh. I think I'll be using this one a little bit, maybe a lot, as the bowl season in the next 25 days play out. We'll put him right there for right now. But I had a question for you out there. And the question is, New Year's Eve. I just went through all the, like, you know, hey, pomp and circumstance, you know, parties, all the little hats and glasses, hey, ring of the new year. Back in the day, who was the guy when I was little? Dick Clark, right? You know, he was on TV for when TV started. And then it seemed like, you know, Dick Clark was like 95 years old. I don't know if he ended up being that old, but he had a great run. And you know, now they have different, but, you know, Clark had his thing that would, like, you know, if you're sitting around watching too much after you got to, you know, that was nice when you maybe, like, you were able to stay up when you were like 9 or 10. But by the time you got, you know, like in high school, or if you're in your 20s or in your 30s, you're sitting around watching Dick Clark just hanging out, you're like, hey, maybe I want a little bit more from New Year's Eve. Although I do know some people that, you know, like, you know, like they, I don't know, fancy themselves as, experts on going out and partying. And they call New Year's Eve amateur night, which I can get because, you know, a lot of people act a fool, you know, and you give them a little bit of a break. Like, you know, if you're a pro, that means you're like, you go out a lot and you're used to being able to celebrate and everything, which is good. But then you get people that, you know, only celebrate maybe once or twice a year. They go out and, you know, they don't know how to handle themselves on New Year's Eve. That's where the amateur part comes in. But all of that being said and stated here, I want to ask you personally, where New Year's Eve 2022 would rank if I told you that Michigan would beat TCU. Now, this doesn't have to just be necessarily sports-wise, but, you know, it can be, you know, you go through and you've had your, you know, your great New Year's Eve. Maybe New Year's Eve is when you met your future wife or one of your kids were born. I mean, how are you going to top that even with a Michigan TCU when you're not? it might be up there, but it's not going to match it. And, you know, I was just thinking of myself, you know, sports wise, like last year, it would be better than last year. I remember I had a memorable party at my house on New Year's Eve. And I told my dad, like, hey, I'm going to have a couple friends over. He's like, all right, a couple friends. But it was way more than a couple friends. It was, you know, completely packed the house and everything else. And everybody got out of there and we cleaned it all up by the time he got home. I don't remember what that was, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he didn't say anything. And he didn't say anything the next day. And I thought that maybe I had pulled it off. Like, I had this gigantic party. It was so awesome. And my dad, I told him I was having a few friends over, but it ended up being this gigantic party until I didn't notice, if you went outside, there was snow on the ground and my front lawn was completely, when you have hundreds of people or whatever it was, the snow was all trampled down, all padded down. And at the one point he came in, he's like, I didn't get in trouble. But he had pointed out that it looked like more than a few of my friends were out on the front lawn. And so he had, kind of told me that he knew what was going on. But that was very memorable. And, I could tell you about a New Year's Eve in Edinburgh, Scotland, or 1989 in London, ringing in the New Year's with from young ladies from East Germany when the wall had just come down the month before. And, you see them counting down and they're doing it an hour earlier. You do that sometimes when you're over, people are celebrating from different time zones, like that. And that one is the best for me. It'd be a long story. It's a good one. One day I might tell it, but let's just say, man, it was, there was nothing like Trafalgar Square in 1989, after the Berlin Wall came down. But I'll put this New Year's Eve 2022 in front of 89 Trafalgar Square in London. It'll be number one for me. So I will put this year's New Year's Eve number one. Now, even in great Michigan football games or Michigan football history, it's up there pretty high. The 89, I'm sorry, not the 89, the 98 Rose Bowl when Michigan beat Ryan Leaf and Washington State, Mike Price, the head coach. Michigan won its only national championship in the modern era. So, that one is, you can't even, New Year's Eve, very special, getting to the national championship game for sure. It's going to be up there, but 98 stands on its own. But would it be bigger than 97 Ohio State, which, is so high on everybody's list because, they won that and it got them into the championship game. It's always been 1-2. Rose Bowl 98, 97 Michigan, Ohio State 1-2. Now, if Michigan would be able to complete the job and not only win on New Year's Eve and then win on January the 9th over Georgia or Ohio State, then this year's New Year's Eve game and that championship game, they are right there looking 97 and 98, the Rose Bowl, right eye to eye. And you can make the case, and I'll make it right now, that these games would be bigger because you had to do more. 97 meant a lot, but once you beat Ohio State, you automatically got to the championship game. And of course they won it. Now, not only do you have to beat Ohio State, you have to win the Big Ten, although Michigan still could have got in, but winning the Big Ten, and now you got to get a semifinal, and then you have to win the national championship game. I'll make the case that, this semifinal and then the championship game certainly would be sitting there looking eye to eye. And I know people, if you can go back to 71 and say, the 71 Ohio State Michigan game, and then the Michigan lost in the Rose Bowl to Stanford by 1 point, you could say the 71, and there's a couple other in there that you would look at too if things fell the right way that you could put up there. And I buy that. Like, if you're a Michigan historian saying, you're forgetting about some of these, I haven't forgot about them, and you can make a case for them. So there's my case. I say that for me personally, if Michigan wins New Year's Eve over TCU, it would be the best New Year's Eve in my life. Number one. And that's, you know, 50 some odd New Year's Eves that I've been through. How about that? Let's see where people are at with that. And then I'll get to the transfer portal coming up. Let's see. Steven says New Year's Eve typically sucks. So a win leading into about 7 or 8, that'd be pretty good. Steven doesn't like New Year's Eve. So there you go. Not everybody, you know, holds it as this, you know, great day. I remember my least favorite New Year's Eve. I was working and I had to fill in on a Pistons Phoenix Suns game where I was your host doing updates. And then afterwards I would do a post game show. And I really enjoyed filling in. I liked the home games better. Like I got to sit in the front row at the Palace, you know, right a couple seats down from George Blaha, but in the front row, didn't matter who they were playing. It's like, man, this is the greatest thing ever. I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. And then, you know, the road games, I was still getting paid extra, so which was nice. And, you know, there's not as much fun just sitting back watching the game on TV and then doing it. Much better for the home games. But this was the Pistons playing the Suns on the road on New Year's Eve. That game must not have tipped off till like 9:30. So then you're talking about it's over at like 11:30, and I'm doing a post game trying to get people to call in, and I'm counting it down like I'm Dick Clark, like 3, 2, Happy New Year. Nobody called. I don't think Pistons weren't very good. The game wasn't very good. It was during New Year's Eve, and I left out of there thinking, this is one of the worst New Year's Eves of my life. I remember getting to the road, and it snowed on that particular New Year's Eve, and it was probably like at 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, and I got out on the roads, and people were driving, and I'm thinking, these people all are acting like they're drunk, and I'm thinking, they probably are. I'm just glad I got home on that one. So, Steven, not a New Year's Eve fan. Todd, not as high-ranking as a U of M natty would be. I'm with you. Richard talking about Eric All. Well, let's start there. Eric All, okay, with, you know, talking about the transfer portal. Michigan All is in the portal, so is the other tight end, Lewis Hansen. And when you look at Michigan's roster and you look at guys that have been there, like Hansen, I would think that there would be another half dozen or dozen guys maybe even hitting, maybe not that many, but a lot of guys that are going to still hit the transfer portal that are Michigan players. You know, All was one that I was not expecting. Richard asking if All explained his move. Well, he sent a tweet out, and I didn't post up the tweet, but it was a negative tweet. And it was something like, you know, and it was just last week or something that he said he was fixing to come back or whatever. And then this time around, you know, he said, you know, I forget the wording, but it was he was airing a little bit of dirty laundry. He didn't like how he was treated, basically, essentially is how I'm going to say it. It's out there. People have talked about it. And then his dad came over the top and we're talking to like some super fans from Michigan. And his dad said, you don't want to know the truth. And Eric All Jr. and Eric All Sr., you know what? I do want to know the truth. Like Eric All was a big part of Michigan winning the 2021 Big Ten. Eric All made that great play at Penn State, the 47-yard touchdown that I'll never forget in my life. He was voted a captain by Michigan when he went to Indianapolis this year, watched all of his interviews and listened to him talk about the upcoming season. And, you know, somebody who was really easy to root for, Eric All, great player. Sound like a nice kid and all these. And then last week, you know, he just plays, I don't even know if it was a handful, just a couple, you know, early on in the season is, you know, he only played a very limited amount of time and then he missed the rest of the year with an injury. And, you know, he didn't say specifically what his problem was with Michigan. And it becomes a problem when it's on Twitter and it seems mysterious, which this one is, because you're not saying exactly, except that he didn't like how it played out. Well, you're going to turn most Michigan fans against you. I think a lot of people that say, look, you know, you're going to lose some guys, even, you know, a captain, and not everything's going to work perfectly for people. I mean, this is if you're able to take a measured approach, take a step back and just say, hey, good luck to him or wherever. But it's going to be a lot of people that are like, hey, what's he doing? You know, well, what's the shade for? Why are you acting like this? And then his dad coming over the top and saying, you don't want to know the truth. Like, okay, it's drama. Unnecessary drama from his family. I give kids, and I know they're young adults and young men, but I still look at, you know, all, I still look at college players like kids. I give them a break when it comes down to putting things on Twitter, for the most part. I mean, there can be always exceptions to that where you do something really stupid, but you know, for this one, you know, him exiting, I don't think it was a real smart move. If I was his agent, even if he had, you know, he may have a case of, or he may have a point. I don't know about a case. He might have a point where he didn't like how, you know, a misunderstanding of what he was told. There could be a situation medically where a doctor said this, or he thought he was being pushed. That kind of stuff is going to happen. And look, you know, Michigan, just like, they're not going to handle every situation perfectly. And, you know, the coach might not see eye to eye with the players. And then when you have the doctors involved, I mean, there's going to be some situations like that. So even if it was that, even if it was like he thought, oh, Michigan did me wrong, well, you need to explain it instead of putting something out. And then his dad coming back and saying, you can't handle the truth. What are we talking about here? No, people can handle the truth. Now, admittedly, some people, you know, can't handle the truth. You're right. But most people, is it most people? Yes. Most people can handle the truth. They understand that. And I don't know, Michigan may not have erred at all. You know, all could be the one that, you know, is tripped up here. I don't know. It just leaves for complete speculation. And the worst part about this is that the guy was a captain, and they'll honor that 21 team, you know, forever, for as old as Eric All. You know, he would be welcome back. And certainly as a captain for the 22 team, even if he left, regardless of where he went. And, you know, his dad was retweeting things about Iowa and Cade McNamara. So maybe he does go to Iowa City. Who cares? Good luck to him. But he could have still come back in the future, and he would have been welcome back. Now, why cut that cord? That's what I would have said to him if I was advising him. You never know. People always say that about jobs. Like, you're in, you might be like, this guy was the worst jerk program director of all the time. That little Napoleon complex Notre Dame fan. Oh, wait, I don't want to say that. You know, might be one day where I would come back and, you know, want to work at that place. So you don't want to say anything like that, mostly. And in this case, it's not a job, but it still holds true. So, I don't know what All's doing. I think he's sound a little bit emotional. I think his Twitter fingers, you know, have got in front of him a little bit. I think that he would end up regretting that at some point. And, you know, having his dad fight his battles for, no. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there. And like I said, the kid might have a point. Now, what he should do, I would even come back if he called me and said, hey, what should he do? Well, you should come on like a show like this. And I could say, hey, Eric, what did you mean? And I'd say, well, you know, what's your point? And let's see if he has a point. And he might. And you wish him well, and then you move on. He may still do that. And so we'll find out. But at this point right now, he's exiting, and he is, you know, airing dirty laundry, and his dad's coming over the top. And who knows about that? So that's the transfer portal. You know, as far as Michigan goes with the transfer portal, they're eyeballing players. You know, the running back from Wisconsin, well, you know, we're going to have to just see. I know a lot of people want to say, hey, Braylon Allen, he's coming in. He might. It could happen. There's a lot of moving parts, fluid situation. Now you want to be right up to speed on all that. That's fine. Like, I'm keeping an eye on it. The staff of the Maize and Blue Review, I mean, they are sitting there eyeballing. Like, they're sitting there watching the portal right now. Like, hey, the portal. Oh, yeah, what about this guy? And so if that's something that you want to do, And I know you want to know the news. You know, Mason Blue Review is the place to be on that. For me, I'm going to see how it plays out, and then I'm going to react to it. Michigan, when it comes to getting players that are not grad students, if a guy is that good and he's coming in, sometimes it can be a situation where, you know, Michigan might be able to get somebody, and it doesn't matter about transfer credits because the guy's planning on bolting afterwards. But it's not a – when it comes to transfers, we all know that Michigan's not – they have a harder line in accepting credits, and, you know, that can hurt them. And so they look for grad transfers. However, I don't know, but I considering that Michigan is in the Final Four and they're just one of two undefeated teams, I can't believe that there would be another team that is in position that Michigan is in that has had better success at bringing in transfers this year. And I would look to Yabi Oki on the defensive side that Michigan brought in late in August. And then obviously I would put Oluskin Olatimi right there at the front of the line where Michigan was able to bring in the former Virginia center, and he anchored Michigan's offensive line, and he was every bit as advertised, and he was as good of a transfer as anybody in the country. Yeah, I know, kid from USC, but USC's not in the final. Olatimi is. So bring it on when it comes to the transfers. Michigan has done a good job when it comes down to that. All right, before we get to the Heisman stuff, let's see where the people are at. Speculation on all, I get it. When you don't say, it is complete and total, you know, free for all about, hey, could it be money? Could it be the coach? Could it be, you know, this? Could it be that? You know. Todd says Georgia has a home game and TCU basically a home game, of course. I don't know. TCU is right around Dallas, right? So Dallas to over to Phoenix. I don't know. I don't know what kind of drive is that. That's a little bit of a poke still. Man, for Texas, that might not be anything. Like, yeah, just go ahead and make that drive. That seems like it's still a pretty big drive. I know it's a bigger drive than from Michigan to Arizona. You're saying they – Michigan will have at least that stadium half full. And if I had to put money on it, I would say that there would be more Michigan fans than TCU fans. I don't know. How many TCU fans are there? How many TCU fans could, you know, can TCU even fill out a stadium? You know, if they're talking about just TCU fans. Texas Christian University Horned Frogs. And when they have their home game or whatever, maybe. And every single one of those guys, they load up the bus. Michigan, you know, they've got fans everywhere. Michigan will have... will be well represented. I would say that they would have more. EMU is in the Smurf Turf Potato Bowl. Go Eastern. Yeah, go Eagles. I have not looked at the menu and started, you know, I will do that, but I have yet to even look through that. That was news about the Smurf Turf Potato Bowl. Richard saying that Michigan needs an NIL package for the whole team. More about the team, the team, the team. I'm going to talk about the NIL package coming up after I talk about the Heisman, but that is one, you know, remember Texas Tech in the offseason, they put out a plan about their name, image, and likeness where they were going to give every player that was a freshman, $15,000, and they were even going to extend that to like 10 walk-ons. Which raised my eyebrows and thought, wow, what if Michigan, if Texas Tech can come up with 15, and you might be saying 15 is chump change to, you know, superstars. I hear you. But I was thinking the add-on of those 10 walk-ons that would be getting, you know, the $15,000 to supplement their education. You know, prior to the 85 scholarships, Nebraska, Michigan, they benefited, like they could have 100 they could have 100 players and they could, you know, give them partial scholarships, maybe even full scholarships. I'm not 100% sure how that worked, but it was always like, wow, Nebraska's got 105 kids out there. Look at their sidelines. And if you're somebody like Michigan or anybody now, you can extend it where it's more than 85 scholarships. If you gave an extra 15,000 to an extra 15 kids. And then if you're somewhere like Michigan, I thought like, all right. And it's easy for me to start talking about money. I don't know. You know, you start adding it up, but look, it's not paying the players before they come in. So it is something at least to think about. If Michigan went 15 when you were a freshman, you know, 30 when you were a sophomore, you know, 50 when you were a junior, 100 when you were a senior, you start adding that up. You can say, hey, you know, these walk-ons could pay their own way. And then everybody would be getting paid. Now, when you start talking about 8,500 kids and I'm adding it all up, yeah, it ends up being a lot of money. But, it's big-time football now. Yeah, it's a lot of money. These guys are – we're talking billions now. Not the show on Showtime. We're talking about college football billions. So, yeah. In Michigan, I'm anticipating, I'm expecting – Michigan, I guess I'm getting into the name, image, and likeness right now. I'm expecting them to open up the treasure chest and get after it for the players around this team and give them close to equal value of what they would be getting in the NFL if they're going to go to stay around. That's not, you know, paying a five-star money up front, which is, technically against the rules. Michigan doesn't want to do that. You know, that's a hill they're dying on. They're dying on it in this year's recruiting class. I'm going to get to that more coming up. Steven says all, you know, here, more speculation about all. I gave you my speculation on all. And, you know, it doesn't really matter until he comes out and says something, you know, speculating about, you know, why he's upset or hurt for whatever, you know. Sure, I'll listen to some of the speculation, but just some of it. Like, what are we going to do? Let's see. Gerald talking about recruits, 6 4 stars, 12 three stars, then ain't going to make it. Yeah, like people are getting ahead of, the transfer portal and everything else. I have said since the summer, the way this thing, you know, Michigan playing the wait and see game or Michigan playing the, we don't want to share the money with the big noters to the players. You know, that doesn't seem like the smartest move to me. I know a lot of the people that are watching this saying, what? Michigan doesn't want to, they want to hoard all the money. They want to keep it from themselves. They don't want to get it to the players. Kind of, you know, that's one of that's one of the angles on name, image, and likeness. I have, and you might say this is a very soft, you could even say, yeah, I think soft could be a way that you would deem my opinion on name, image, and likeness. I have accepted that Michigan is not giving signing bonuses or pay to play, that's the hill that they want to die on. I'm accepting that. And so I'm looking for their other creative ways, and they've got, you know, just over 2 weeks now to see what they can do to prime the pump a little bit, get some guys coming back, signing day. But if they sacrifice this season, recruiting class, and I say sacrifice by being like, you know, a top 30 class, people are going to be crying. Even though they're in the Final Four, they're going to be like, oh, this is going to be the last time we're ever here. And they may have a point to that. But I think there's going to be enough crying. That's probably the right word for it. I think there'll be enough crying by Michigan fans and alumni that if Michigan, you know, turns out a top 30 class when they're in the freaking college football semifinals for 2 years in a row, then, you know, the administration is going to have to say, well, and all that, they got smart, you know, there's really smart people over there, smarter than me, supposedly. You know, whatever their plan is, hey, we're doing it the Michigan way. Well, if we get to 2 weeks and then after that with name, image, and likeness and you know, Michigan, you know, churns out a 30th ranked recruiting class, they're going to have to look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, well, is this really a hill we should be dying on? We are dying on it, but should we? Do we need to die on it? So they'll have to do some real close inspection on, you know, how they feel about if this is the way it's going to go, because winning is supposed to take care of everything. People are going to be like, hey, I want to play at Michigan. The problem is the very top guys, teams are saying, look, you know, here's 100, 200, 300, 400 grand. Come on in. You know, we'll just, you can have this as soon as you get here. You just can't say that we're giving it to you. And they're like, okay. And then they're going to Michigan saying, look, these guys are promising me 500,000. What are you promising? It's like, well, you know, you can go to a dealership and look at some of the guys, you know, and these guys don't want to hear that. Here's my experience and your experience when it comes to professional sports and deals. Players almost always take the biggest amount of money, the biggest amount of contract, and players almost always go for the most upfront money, the biggest signing bonus. And that's what other teams are offering. So, and I would even think it would be more amplified, because there are some players, you know, once they have 50, 60, 150 million in the bank, they say, I would rather just, you know, play in Miami because it's the beach. I already got 150 million. I'll take 10 or 15 less for enough. By and large, almost all of these kids, well, how much money they got? Some of them, you know, might come from money, but not the vast majority of them. And so, you know, they've earned this ranking or rating, and teams are saying, look, you're going to be a millionaire before you even catch a pass for us. Michigan's saying, hey, our experience, that's a tough challenge. And you can say, hey, this is Michigan. We'll find out if the, this is Michigan, or as this guy says, it is, we're going transformational, not transactional. We're in the semifinals. You can make a little bit of money. We're just not giving it to you up front. Understand that? You're not getting the money up front. You have to be here for a while. And look at, that's how you'll be able to get the money. All right? That's how they're going about it. Richard taking a shot at the media and Vegas. Never learned their lesson. Lack of respect and past reputations. Well, you know what? I think, you know, shots at the media, I get that. Shots at Vegas. Vegas is, you know what they're saying, Richard? Let me tell you how my ass tastes, is what they're telling you. They're saying, Richard, they're like, look around. Look around at these buildings. Look at Sin City. Bet your ass off, Richard. Because we put the lines in to make money. We're about straight cash, Richard. We're not here about trying to, you know, appease fans. You know what? Hammer the money line for Michigan if they get there, if you want to go that way. And I advise people, to work their funds. If you have money, just like to throw in the air and burn, well, you know, it's fun gambling. But you better be careful. Those big buildings are there for a reason. Gerald looking into the psychology of Vegas, saying they know what they're doing. I'm a Michigan fan, and I would pick OSU over Michigan in a rematch. Bite your tongue, Gerald. But I know. I know what you're saying. I haven't. I'm going to wait to see what happens on New Year's Eve and watch those games. If I had to pick right now, though, like Vegas is doing, they're putting their numbers out there. If Michigan was getting, what did I say? 2.5 points against Ohio State in a championship game. You know, I'm going to pick Michigan here today. The way they played, the way the secondary, the way they were able to hold Ohio State at home to 3 points in the second half, the way they ran the ball in Ohio State, the way that Kojo was able to rip off a 69-yarder, a 75-yarder, the way Donovan Edwards had a 75-yarder and an 85-yarder, the way J.J. McCarthy, just in time, now look like, you know, everything that you would want him to be in terms of running and throwing the ball. I'm taking Michigan. Now, I'm saying that, and I'm somebody that picked Ohio State in that game to everybody's dismay and for my everlasting stain on my reputation. But I'll pick Michigan in the championship game if that ends up being the way it is right now. Now, Georgia, that's going to be a horse of another color. 8 points. You know, the thing, I don't know how much Vegas puts this into their analytics or how it plays into how they're setting the number at all. I'm going to make it sound like I'm some, like, you know, super sports fan here, but I used to work with a guy who would say something like this. You know, I've watched every one of the semifinals, you know, over the last 8 years, okay? I've watched every one of these games. You know what? They're almost all blowouts, all of them. The team, doesn't matter how many points they're laying, they have covered almost every one of these semifinals. How many underdogs have even come close? There's some examination for it. Is past performance any, in, you know, is it indicative of what's going to happen? Those are things you have to weigh. Well, Georgia beat Michigan 34-11. I would have taken, 21 points last year and said, oh, are you kidding me? They're not that much better. But, you know, my feeling is that I would take Michigan in 8 points right now. You know, you don't want to say like you think they're a team of destiny. Why would anybody listen to you if you're going to say that? I just really like Michigan. I think they're going to win the game. Maybe. Maybe they will. Todd saying that Michigan needs some 5 stars. Yeah. Yeah, well, you need it all. You know, in college football, you need to get the players and then you need to develop the players. And you I think about the Saturday night and, you know, Donovan Edwards was, sure enough, he was from Michigan. The state of Michigan, but he was highly regarded. He could have gone anywhere in the country. It was great to have him as a backup running back. Will Johnson was the highest rated player in all the Big Ten, according to Rivals. He was great. Pass breakups. I mean, he looked like Woodson. Woodson in 95, his freshman year, had 2 interceptions against Ohio State. Will Johnson in the Big Ten championship game with 2 interceptions. He looked pretty good in those 2 interceptions. Who else played great in that game? J.J. McCarthy. There's another one. Yeah, you need the players and you need to develop them. There is no doubt. I mean, all of us are sitting here, you know, shaking our head with Todd and what he is saying. Gerald's talking about a lot of things went our way in that game. I don't know which game you're talking about. The Ohio State game? I don't know what went Michigan's way necessarily. They didn't really go their way in the first half. And it certainly didn't go their way in the first quarter. Michigan didn't look good at all in the first quarter. I was watching the J.J. McCarthy didn't look good in the first quarter. Michigan wasn't able to run the ball at all. And until that big third and nine lightning bolt, that 69-yarder to Kojo, what was McCarthy, like 3 of 8 for like 40, 50 yards? And Michigan had 0 rushing yards. So it wasn't going well for at all for them. And they made a big play. Then they made another big play. But it wasn't like they were blowing out Ohio State at the half. They were trailing at the half. Sure enough, what went their way is what has went their way all year long. Whatever they do at halftime and however they come out, they're very confident. J.J. McCarthy said it himself after the game on Saturday to Allison Williams.
I mean, we've been in that situation before multiple times, and it wasn't really anything but the usual. We got 30 minutes, give it our all, and we're the best second half team in the country, and it showed again.
True. So if that's what you're talking about, I don't know. What went their way is what has gone their way all year long. You know, if Michigan is beating TCU or if they're down, I don't know, like just to say Michigan, it's 23-20 TCU at the half. People are going to be like, oh, my God, they got all this way. And I'll just be sitting back and I'll say, you know, I'm not sweating this. This is where Michigan, they got them right where they want them. Michigan's leading 17-14 at the half. You're going to be like, this game's over. They're going to lose. I wouldn't act like that. I would say that almost every game this year in the Big Ten has been like that. They were tied with freaking Indiana. They were losing to Rutgers. So why would anybody think that it would be any different, you know, with, you know, Michigan at the half against TCU? That should feel pretty good. They were, what was the score? Illinois, 7-3, and then they were down. Yeah, it was a tight one. That one really didn't go. Talking about the NFL, you know, beating a team. You know, in the NFL, sure. You know, but the thing in the NFL, what they always say, Richard, is that if you're playing somebody in the division, like the, you know, the Lions and Vikings, if the Lions, let's say, were really good, and, you know, they're doing a nice job now, and they're actually favored against the Vikings, who have a much better record, which is wild. But let's say that the Lions beat the Vikings twice this year and then got into the playoffs. People would say, well, it's hard to beat a team three times. And it's just the overall record, though, Richard, when you look. It was I didn't add in this year of Utah playing USC, but off the top of my head, it was something like the situation where teams had played twice in the same year. LSU, Alabama did it one time in the championship game. It was, I want to say, I don't know, 23 to 16 was the record for the team that had lost previous. And maybe it was even a bigger number than that, but it was a big decided advantage for the team. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. Does it mean anything to you? You could say, I don't know. Let's break down some of those games. And some of them, admittedly, were a long time ago and against teams that, but the one that jumped out to me was Bama and LSU. LSU had beaten Bama, and then they had come back. And how about most recently, you know, we talked about Utah doing it twice against USC, but didn't also last year Georgia get smacked upside the head against Alabama in the SEC championship game, and they came back and they beat Alabama? There was another one. So there, I mean, there's been some big time games that, you know, you win the first time, it's harder the second time. So bring it on. You know what? Like I, you know, I'm not rooting for Ohio State, but if I could just pick right now, you say, go ahead. You can either have Georgia or you can have Ohio State in the national championship game, January the 9th at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Pick it. I'd put Ohio State in there. You know, the past be damned, or the record, or whatever it is. The records be damned. Right? Let's see what Sugar Shane is talking about. Again, Sugar Shane, I see his. I want to get his immediate lip there. Da, da, da. I'm going through them all. We get a lot. That's for sure. We want to get them all up here. Let me get some new ones, some old ones. Start at the back and work from back to front. Can we do that? You know, this is a good problem to have. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. We have too many people watching now and too much feedback. I'm never going to say that. But let's get to some of it here. Michael saying Georgia in Auburn. Played a few years ago as well. The Cam Newton's year. Michigan, man, Jason. Jackson Smith Najigba not playing against Georgia just goes to show you that team isn't close and players only care about going to the NFL and not national championships. Well, sure, I can see how you would say that if you're a Michigan fan. He might not be 100% healthy, and, you know, I don't know what his status is. So, you know, taking a shot, I think it's an easy thing to say, you know, Bosa did it, you know, as well, but I don't know, Rashawn Gary did that, but he wasn't in a situation, right, where, you know, Michigan was potentially playing for a national championship. I don't know if people really want to hear, like, what about Michigan, or they just want to look and say, yeah, like, these guys aren't as close. You know, the real truth is, and you might not want to hear this, because this is, you know, this is not like, you know, the Michigan man way or everything else. Most of these schools, these are big businesses, and a lot of things are at play here, and the every player is a corporation, and the team and everything else. I don't think that most of us and the fans, I'm not acting like I'm, you know, in on all the inside stuff, but most people can't handle the truth of all the stuff that goes on and the different things that are at play here. And the things that Michigan did this year that people are criticizing them for, if that was one of Michigan's rival, all Michigan fans would be looking at, look at these guys. These guys are going, these guys have no ethics. These guys, you know, all of that. My stance is this, is that most coaches out there, they all act pretty similar when it comes down to, you know, trying to get players out there on the field. And most universities do as well. Now, you can point to certain things, like Michigan has this the hill that they're dying on in terms of not wanting to, you know, get any extra benefits before a player comes into school because it's against the rules and they're standing hard. You can say, look at Michigan's got great ethics. And you'd say Jim Harbaugh really cares about, you know, and all that. Like, hey, that's good. But, you know, there's a lot of that stuff. I let everybody else, you know, I'll weigh in on it. I'll give you my opinion. I just did on that. But I see what you're saying about JSN. Let's see what Sugar Shane is saying. He is hoping 22 New Year's Eve at State Farm Stadium. That's where the Cardinals play. That's where the Wolverines are taking on the Horned Frogs. Will rank better than my 21 New Year's Eve at Hard Rock Stadium. Yeah. My profile pick is from that game. Have a strong will, have a strong intuition. It will have a strong feeling. It will. I think you just meant out feeling. Well, Shane, it sounds like you're going to the game. I do expect another picture there from the Fiesta Bowl. And I'm expecting Michigan to win that game as well. And you know, it's all out there for him. There's no real reason for me to be, you know, going down any weird roads like I just did in the last minute. This thing is looking good for Michigan. Here's some other people that are jumping on JSN and his hammy. Exactly. That hamstring injury will have occurred 4 months ago. Yeah, well, here, I'll make an excuse for JSN. He tried to come back for the Penn State game and, you know, re-aggravated it. And here's one thing that I know about hamstring injuries. The best indicator, the greatest indicator of having a reoccurring or having a hamstring issue is having one previous. And so, look. Jackson Smith Najigba, is he guaranteed to be a top 10 pick right now? And you could say, you know, how, I don't know, even know. What are we talking about? $15 million guaranteed? And the possibility is coming out, even though he might, should be maybe 100%, he could play, you know, for a championship for Ohio State. He could go out there. You would advise him. You would do it. You would advise him to do it. I would have, you know, it's easy for me to say. I don't have $15 million on the line. I'd say, I'd play for Michigan. I'd play for a national championship, but, you know. People might say you're stupid, you know, for doing that. Can't you get, though, a Lloyd's of London, like if he really is in top 10, where if even the spots that he would lose in the draft, where, you know, he's top 10, if he tore his hamstring, I don't know, it sounds terrible. And, you know, he wasn't picked to like the fifth round that he would make up for that guaranteed money. I think that's all there. So, yeah, I changed my mind. No, I haven't changed my mind. It's going to let these guys make your you know, make the decisions. Todd is saying that UFM the last 2 years has overachieved according to the recruiting rankings. We'll see if it culminates in a natty. It will be the first. Yeah. Well, let's run through this first. Did Blake Corum get snubbed when it came down to going to New York? You got Caleb Williams, Stenson Bennett, CJ Stroud, Max Duggan. Did he get snubbed? My answer to that is no. I love Blake Corum. I wish he was going to New York. I haven't come out every week and put my my own particular Heisman ballot on there, but I keep one where I rank five players all year long. And then at the end, you are just asked if you're a Heisman voter to submit. It says, give three players. Who is the most outstanding college football player? That's the requirements if you're a Heisman voter. That's what they ask you to do. They don't ask you to say, hey, he's got to be a quarterback. He's got to be on a championship. None of that. Most outstanding college football players, rank them 1 through 3. And, you know, there's a lot of people that rank them differently in all of this. I will tell you how I rank them the final. Here's how I would have handed in my ballot. For the most outstanding college football players, I would have handed in 1, Caleb Williams. He had USC in that spot for the Pac-12 championship game, hurt, cut his finger. Despite having the goofy fingernails and having the hamstring injury, I thought he was the most outstanding player. 2 on that list, even though he lost 2 games in the last play of the game, Bryce Young against Tennessee, Bryce Young all year long, the defending champ. To me, I would have voted him 2 as the most outstanding college football player. 3, I put Blake Corum on my finalist ballot if I had a vote and would have handed it in. I considered Max Duggan, and I was sitting there watching the Big 12 championship game saying, you know what, if they win this game and the way Duggan has played, I'm going to have to put Duggan. I would have, if they would have won that game, they should have handed it off to him there on the 6-inch line. They didn't, and he lost. I would have put Duggan. That's how close it was. I would have put Duggan in front of Blake Corum, and I would have been, you know, 3 quarterbacks, which everybody is bitching about. Guys that were also on my list, you know, I had Hendon Hooker in by 5 almost all year long. The way that he played against Alabama at Tennessee, you know, that was one of the most incredible performances. The way he was whipping the ball down the field, bombs. I had him 1 on the list, right there with Blake Corum, 1-2 after that. But when it came down to Hooker, you know, however you're looking at it, most outstanding, when it's coming down, the push comes to shove and you're playing, you're undefeated, and then you're playing against another team. The Tennessee-Georgia game was really big for me. If Hooker could have won that game, he could have won the Heisman Trophy. Meanwhile, he didn't play that well. And Georgia and Stenson Bennett, the former walk-on, Stenson Bennett IV, he played tremendous in that game. He got on my radar. But I had Jalen Carter, the defensive player there for the Dogs, in front of Bennett most of the year. And if there was a 5-player ballot, I would have put Carter just in front of Bennett. I think he's more important on the defense. It's always hard, and this is the one thing that you get in, you know, for the Heisman Trophy, you know, you don't have to be necessarily a print journalist. They'll give it to broadcasters in the different regions and, you know, but there's a lot of votes out there and a lot of different people. How seriously they take it, you know, you assume they're, you know, taking it semi-seriously or real serious, you know, trying to come up with the most outstanding player. But people bitch, it's the quarterback award. All right. It wasn't when Devontae Smith, you know, a couple of years ago for Alabama made all the plays. He deserved the Heisman. There have been. But writers and broadcasters and in the media, they're just like you. What do we talk about? We mostly talk about quarterbacks, you know, and that's the majority of the air in print that is taken up, quarterbacks. When I was watching Monday Night Football last night, you know, it was the Saints visiting the Tampa Bay Bucks. In the first quarter, as I was sitting back, you know what they did? Tom Brady in Michigan taking on Andy Dalton and TCU. You know, they had the two quarterbacks there. People talk about quarterbacks, the most important position, and people obsess about them. You know, Colin Cowherd, if you've ever watched his show or you're familiar with his work, it's all he talks about are quarterbacks. And Colin would say that's what people relate to. When they watch a game, it's what everybody, you know, you can lose your right tackle, your left guard, your defensive end, your corner, but you can't lose your quarterback. And that's what people identify with, our quarterbacks. So when you're talking about the media and the people that vote for that, the people that criticize, like, hey, this is just a quarterback award, it's like, that's what everybody relates to. That's what everybody identifies with. So, you know, if there was a guy that went out there and stood out, and this year there's really not. You want to put Hooker up there when he went down in between the hedges and Tennessee got embarrassed? He didn't look all that hot in that game. He didn't look like a Heisman Trump. Now, Corum, I give him credit for, you know, playing on the bum knee against Ohio State. If he could have gone out there and run for 100 yards and didn't get hurt against Illinois, I think he would have won it. But unfortunately, he didn't get to play, you know, after the first series, first carry, whatever it was, against Ohio State. If he wouldn't have got hurt, then he would have gone against Purdue. Just look at what Edwards was able to do. You know, we'd be talking about a Heisman Trophy. They're talking about another number two, the Maize and Blue, and dusting off another Heisman Trophy. That's how close he was. If Duggan would have won, I would have put him on there. So, you know, people are all worked up. People always get worked up about this. Here's how I voted. Williams, Young, Corum. Would have put Duggan up there. Would have had Jalen Carter. Or, you know, it was him or Bennett. And then Hooker, I dropped off of my top five because of the way that he played against Tennessee. That's how I looked at it. Each guy looks at it a different way. A lot of quarterbacks on that list. You know, last year I had Jared Davis, Godzilla, who the Eagles ended up drafting, a defensive tackle for Georgia. You know, they had a generational defense. He seemed like he was the fulcrum piece of the Dogs defense last year. That's why I had him up in the top five all year long, even though defensive tackles, and you say he's only a two down player. I got ripped a lot for that. And then I also had Aiden Hutchinson on there. And the funny thing was, is November 1st, I had Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, number one on my Heisman list after his performance and his five touchdowns against Michigan. But each week, and then when he went down to Ohio State, you know, he was a no-show. I know he was hurt. I didn't just completely take him off the list, but I really dropped him. And other guys in bigger games stepped up. He would not have, if they would have gone by my ballot, he would have not gone to New York. I know State fans were like, you're biased. Not really. I just looked at it and tried to be as fair as I could about it. And it's the same thing. Stenson Bennett putting him in front of, Carter on the defense. You know, that's tough. I know Georgia this year, you talk to Dog fans, they're like, hey, last year we were led by the defense. We're more balanced. And if you have to ask them, they're more of an offensive team this year. So maybe they would go with Bennett. And he really did play well against Georgia. That's a tough call. And I feel like all of their guys, it's like in an election year where you get people that are stealing, you know, each other's votes. I think Bowers steals a little bit from Bennett, and then Carter steals a little bit on the defensive side from Bennett too. He's going to New York, but he's not going to win it because a lot of guys will look at it like I am. Like, I don't know, he's not even the most outstanding player on his own team. He's not even the most outstanding player on his own offense. How am I going to vote him as the most outstanding player in the country? It happens. I was talking to somebody that said, yeah, Corum, you know, Donovan Edwards ran for 500 yards or whatever it was, 400 yards the last two games. It's that Michigan offensive line. I said, yeah, did you see Edwards making guys miss and then going for 60 yards? But the point, you know, is one that a lot of people, you know, they didn't break down the tape. And and, you know, saw the incredible moves that Edwards were making. They're just saying, hey, look at, anybody could run for 200 yards behind that line. But you got to do it in the big rivalry games. We all know that. But so I don't know. There's a lot of Michigan fans that are kind of like boo hoo and making fun of the media and about Corum. That was a travesty. None of that applies here. Let's use when there are real things to criticize the media about or jump on, you know, writers or broadcasters. Let's use it where it's appropriate. This Heisman Trophy voting. Everybody loves Blake Corum, but he did not get snubbed. But if you feel that way, I understand. You know, you don't care about, you know, people being fair. He's a big Michigan fan. You just want him to be in there. I get that. Michigan fans, let's do it. Michigan man saying Gary would have played in the CFP. Count 22 saying, JSN, stop going to class. Gary wants to know about rumors about Nakai Hill Green. Yeah, I'm sorry. I saw him on Twitter saying some things, but I don't know. I'll leave that. There are plenty of people that entertain, like, do you want me to guess if, you know, he's going to be with the team or not? Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens here. Shadyville's just, he's just throwing $2 up. And he's got a comment below. Well, let's find his comment. He's throwing $2 up. We're going to have a party at some point, Shadyville. There he is. There's only been three teams in the BCS playoff era to win a title that didn't have a top four class in the previous 4 years. They all had top 10 and top five picks at quarterback. Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and Cam Newton. Yeah. Yeah, well, recruiting is really important. And you know, maybe Michigan, after next year, will have a top five pick with J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, it was only last year that we were sitting here, and this might be the conversation that we'll be having in January, Shadyville, where we'll say, the ceiling for teams that are not in the SEC and Ohio State, for all the other teams in the country, the ceiling is just their conference championship and getting to the college football playoff. You have to be Alabama. You have to be Clemson. You have to be Ohio State. You have to be Georgia. You just can't beat them. They do way too well in recruiting, and they're just reloading. There's just no chance. You can't beat these teams. And so we're sitting here. Is this the way we're feeling about Michigan right now? And it's one of the, I'll say, what Harbaugh has done here, because all of these teams, they're talking about Michigan's most important player was not the quarterback last year. Michigan's most important player was not the quarterback. It was the entire offensive line and defense, and it was not throwing the football and spreading the ball in a vertical passing game. It was running the football. This is why Michigan has a chance, and that's why will they be able to do it against Georgia? First, they got to do it against TCU. And that was the thing. Georgia's pretty good against the run. TCU, not very good against the run. TCU is a sieve. That's why I feel very comfortable about Michigan being able to get to the championship game. The Horned Frogs, they're stopping nobody defensively. Their rush defense is terrible. It's one of the worst in college football. That's why I feel really good about Michigan. So repeat, like the second time I've said that in 10 seconds. We've got a Buckeye. Ooh, look at this. If I put the chat to subscribers only, you won't get spam in the chat. You know what I've noticed, though, MMJ, is that maybe that's something I should do, you know, now that there's a lot more people that are watching this. And maybe, and then I do screen it myself as I'm talking here and being able to put those up there, but it can ruin it if you're involved in the chat. I don't mind. I don't know, spammers. I don't necessarily enjoy like the bots that are coming in from, you know, from the hub or whatever, but you know, if they're like Ohio State fans or Michigan State fans, actually, I've never seen a Michigan State fan. There've been a few Ohio State people in there, but that could be considered. I like your profile picture, Michigan man. That's this one. Maybe I could just do the whole show like this. I could just sit here and we could just talk and ask Jim Harbaugh questions. I should get this on a stick. I'll work on that. I could also just put that picture up on the slide. Let's read some more feedback here. Look at the wide receiver from Bama the Lions picked up. JSN is a first-round wide receiver. They're talking about Jameson Williams. Yeah, look. Jackson Smith Njigba is one of the greatest wide receivers I've ever seen. Now, his 40 time, he reminds me of Jerry Rice, the greatest football player that I've ever seen. Now, Tom Brady, because of what he has been able to accomplish, including last night, which was another feather in his cap coming from behind when I thought that game was completely over. You know, he has emerged now, and it's been like that for a while. He cemented it when he came back from 28-3 against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. But Jerry Rice is, you know, I didn't see Jim Brown. Jerry Rice is the greatest football player I've ever seen. Well, Barry Sanders was the most electric running back that I've ever seen. But Jackson Smith Njigba is just great. But like Jerry Rice, I bring him up in the comparison, is that he is not expected to run like some 4-4, sub 4-4, like Jameson Williams. So I wonder. I mean, I still think that he'll be a first-rounder. He might be a top 10 pick because he looks great. Everything else except he doesn't have the combine speed. That's going to be the interesting part when it comes down to JSN. And maybe JSN's agent is telling him, dude, if you get out there and run a 4-4, you're a top 10 pick guaranteed. And you hurt your hamstring. You know, I don't know. That's where we're at. All right. We're going. I am imagining this, the original. Imagine JSN with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Imagine Jameson Williams with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't have to imagine it. I'm going to see it this Sunday when the Lions take on the Vikings. As Williams is eligible and got out there and got his feet wet last week against the Jags, he's ready to go on Sunday. That's exciting. Jesse thinks Hooker and Corum were snubbed. Yeah. I think because they got hurt, they were not snubbed. And the way Hooker played against Georgia would be my argument against you, Jesse. Like, did you watch Hooker? Did you watch Tennessee play against Georgia? I mean, how could you put Hooker in front of somebody from Georgia? He wasn't outstanding at all in that game. In fact, he was mid. He was mediocre in that game against Georgia. If Hooker wanted to win the Heisman, he needed to perform against Georgia. If Corum wanted to win the Heisman, he needed to perform against Ohio State. It's really as easy as that. It's a very subjective award. It's fun to argue, I think. I don't think Corum was snubbed, but, you know, I understand Michigan people feeling like that will happen. Shadyville saying that Duggan is more valuable to TCU than Corum is to Michigan. That's true. Remember, it doesn't say who's the most valuable player in college football. That's not the the qualification that they give to Heisman voters. It says, who's the most outstanding player in college football? And look, I was ready to put Duggan in front of Corum if TCU would have been undefeated. That's how close it was for me. SP, when JJ is done, he will be a first-round pick. He makes all the throws, just needs to work on the deep ball more. He extended plays and can run. Yeah, well, let's talk about, let me think about that. JJ will be a first-round pick. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What I hope happens here is that there is a story, and I'm going to be getting to this tomorrow. Keep thinking, you know, I'm getting rung up here that it's going to be more guys in the transfer portal, but that's not what's happening. What was it? Oh, McCarthy. I saw a story today. I'll give you a little tease of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, and it is about the transfer portal. And it came from the Reese's Jim Nagy, who's a former Wolverine. He runs the Senior Bowl. He's talking about money being thrown around, $5 million plus. That's thinned out the quarterback class. Next year, if McCarthy, you know, has a great year, you know, he'll have a decision to make. Is Michigan at that point? They don't have to worry about paying any upfront money or signing bonus. Is Michigan going to be ready to bring? This is the thing with the name, image, and likeness, and I want to wrap it up with. Like, yeah, Michigan might be sacrificing a recruiting class. But if Michigan can come back and they can get, I don't know, Zach Zinter and Trevor Keegan, if they can throw those guys big bags, and like otherwise, you know, they could go pro, those two guys would be like, you know, as good as getting five stars. And, you know, the point that I think it was Shadyville, you know, the recruiting classes, and this is the way it goes. Michigan's running the ball, and now Michigan, instead of paying players money up at front when they're here and making a decision to go to the pros, can you shove all that money to them right then? These guys would be worth their weight in gold in offensive line coming back, both of your guards, if they could, you know, pay these guys millions of dollars. And then what about next year? Instead of giving $5 million, that sounds crazy. It is crazy. It not only sounds crazy, it is crazy. But let's just say next year at this time, if Michigan could give J.J. McCarthy, I don't even know how much. I'll just $10 million to stay for his senior season at Michigan. I mean, I wonder what Michigan people that are involved. I'll have to ask some people that I know that are kind of close to the situation, what they would think about if Michigan could give McCarthy $10 million after next year. Let's say he plays a season like this year, which would have Michigan back into the college football playoff for a third year, him 2 years as a starter. I mean, how much is that going to be worth? $10 million doesn't sound – I know that all of these numbers sound crazy. The numbers, I think, are going to be for people, you're a college football fan, and you get the transfer portal, and you got name, image, and likeness. There were all those numbers in the summer. They were like this that were getting thrown around. It was like, actually, they weren't that big, and the guys don't have to – you don't have to report the money, so it's just people saying things like, hey, so-and-so's getting this much money, and you don't really know. But when Jim Nagy says, have heard upwards of $5 million plus for some skill players. You know, he's not, you know, this is not somebody that's, you know, prone to like, he's not like Darren Revelle or something, like, you know, just trying to, you know, lead you down some salacious, you know, Twitter, you know, rabbit hole. Maybe $10 million, what we're talking about, that maybe that is something that could happen. And I know it sounds crazy because it is crazy, but that's what I'm talking about. And that's where, you know, when it comes down to recruiting And with Michigan, you know, they've got the early signing period. You've got name, image, and likeness. Is Michigan, and here's what I'm looking at. What can they do to flip guys over the next couple of weeks? You know, like, if winning means everything, well, I would imagine that they should be able to get some guys. But if they get shut out for top four stars and all five stars, certainly the pressure is going to be on for 24. And the pressure is going to be on the administration, because the fans, even though Michigan is in the college football playoff, fans are going to be crying. Oh, my God, you guys are so stupid. I mean, this is what they're going to be saying. You guys, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy your state. I mean, like, all the negativity is going to come out. And I said, I'm going to let Michigan sacrifice a class, because maybe they're going to spring it on players that are already here and they're going to bring them back. And is, you know, getting Keegan and Zinter back for $4, $5, $6 million. Is that, would that ease your pain of not, you know, grabbing a five-star offensive lineman or something like that? You want both. I get that. You want both. But I think that, you know, they're finding out if they're going to be able to do it. If winning solves everything, is it going to solve the recruiting? Can you afford to be a top 30 class? You wouldn't think so, but it really puts the focus on next year, and it would put the focus almost directly on Jaden Davis. Jaden Davis coming in from, he's a five-star quarterback. Is he really coming into Michigan? With Michigan not offering any upfront money, and he's just going to come on in and he's just going to want to be a part of the Wolverines. And, you know, this guy might, if it happens, he might be sitting around saying, we love this kid. This kid is about transforming the team and is about the experience, and he's not all about the money. But we'll all wait and see on. It is fascinating. I know it's not fun for people that are thinking, like, are you kidding me? You got to strike while the iron's hot. I don't know what this means. Sometimes I just start throwing things up here in mid stream. And I don't know what people are going. People are asking about guys that are going to the pros and everything else. We have to wait and see. What's Michigan? Is Michigan making their pitch with name, image, and likeness for guys that are thinking about going to the draft? Does Michigan have a plan for players that, you know, that are going to be that second and third round or second to fourth round? Are they ready to take money and give it to these players so they come back to Michigan? You know, if that happens and Michigan's got a 30th ranked recruiting class and these guys are all wanting to come in and play for Michigan and, you know, and be here for a couple of years and be part of something, and they know they're going to get paid off, you might say, wow, Michigan's pretty smart. Look at the Michigan way of handling name, image, and likeness. You know, I don't feel real confident about that myself, but like I said, for now the 10th time, sacrificing this and see how they play it, I give them a little benefit of the doubt because where they're sitting right now. Believe me, if Michigan would have lost to Rutgers and then went down to Ohio State and would have lost that game and we're not in the Big Ten and we're sitting here with a top 35 class, do you think I would just be sitting back and saying, well, let's just let's just give these guys the benefit of the doubt? At some point, you get the benefit of the doubt. And you get it by going out there and doing it on the field and winning. And they have done that. So I'm going to cut them a little slack. All right. I guess I could sit here all day. I've been sitting here all day as it is. We got more for you coming up tomorrow. We will talk about, name, image, and likeness. We'll look at Michigan. We'll look back at the season. I'll come up with some kind of question about this season. And the Final Four, and then anything that pops up over the next 24 hours, we'll be ready to go. People want to know, is this guy going pro? What's the transfer portal? You know, there's a lot of balls in the air. Let's go. Check out the Mason Blue Review. You want to know, like, all the balls that are in the air, where they're flying, what's happening to them all the time? We get it covered there. So check it out. Until tomorrow, thanks for watching.